Vedasa, of the Supreme Creator,
Maya,
energy,
Anubhavam,
influence,
Abhidham,
easily understood,
Yena,
by which, Shashanti, they go, Tatpadam, at the lotus feet of the Lord. Translation of her work by the language Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Jai. By that confidential knowledge, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Shri Krishna, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one can return to him and personally meet him. Pervert. By devotional service, or by the most confidential knowledge, one can understand very easily how the different energies of the Lord are working. One part of energy is manifesting the material world. The other part of his energy is manifesting the spiritual world. And the via medium energy is manifesting the living entities who are serving either of the above mentioned energies. The living entities serving material energy are struggling hard for existence and happiness, which is presented to them as illusion. But those in the spiritual energy are placed under the direct service of the Lord in eternal life, complete knowledge, and perpetual bliss. The Lord desires, as he has directly said in the Bhagavad Gita, that all conditioned souls rotting in the kingdom of material energy come back to him by giving up all engagements in the material world. This is the most confidential part of knowledge. But this can only be understood by pure devotees, and only such devotees enter the kingdom of God to see him personally and serve him personally. The concrete example is Narada himself, who attained this stage of eternal knowledge and eternal bliss. And the ways and means are open to all, provided one agrees to follow in the footsteps of Sri Narada Muni. According to Shruti, the Supreme Lord has unlimited energies without effort by him. And these are described under three principal headings as above mentioned. Om Gaudiya Vajram Bhagavan Deity 12th canto, it states, concluding verse you could say in the Srimad Bhagavatam, could think it like that. So some people will take me to this verse, that verse, and this thing and that thing, because that's what they want. That's what they want. That's what they want to see. And you can take that. However, like for instance in that verse, one has to understand the verse in context, because Parikshit Maharaj in the next verse is completely rejects the statement of Shukadeva Goswami. He rejects it. But if you take it on its own standing, you may come to that conclusion. And so the Lord is reciprocating that if a person is according to how they want to see it to a certain extent, he gives them faith and conviction to see it like that, to come to these incorrect or incomplete conclusions. This is what we want. Get what we want. We reciprocate as we surrender. So it's very difficult if one tries to understand these topics on one's own, or with one's own intellect or one's own mind. Perception, impossible. Different methods of trying to understand knowledge by one's perception, material perception, perception, is imperfect. And even by experimentation, and is also, because it's basically developed with the use of the imperfect senses, it also comes to an incomplete or imperfect conclusion. So the process, the actual process of hearing from the highest source, Shatran One, hearing from above, Shastra Chakras, hearing through the scriptures, is supposed to be the path we're meant to follow. But the scriptures also have been disturbed, often misinterpreted, maybe even mispresented. They're confidential and only revealed by those who are actually pure devotees. In previous verses, Narada Muni has been discussing his awakening by the association of the Bhaktivedantas, those great sages who came in, and he had their association. The confidential aspect is that, again, many people may sit down, and not everybody, digest the subject matter. The pure devotees, just like I said, sometimes a mother with her child and a baby doesn't have much capacity to chew the food or whatever. So sometimes the mother chews the food first before without taking any of the food down into her own body, so to speak. Chews the food to make it more easy for the baby to eat and digest. And so the pure devotees, they share and discuss this subject matter from different angles of vision to make it possible for those who are sincere, at least, to digest it. And they can actually get the real understanding or the real benefit out of the subject matter. The Srimad Bhagavatam, otherwise people have very little opportunity to, just like Prabhupada's, in his purpose. Sometimes you wonder, distributing books, this is a Prabhupada book matter, hearing our books, I used to distribute the 10th canto part 3, about 100,000 in England. They were printed about half a million copies one time. That's an enormous quantity, there was that many, a huge number. He distributed in the marathon by the tens of thousands. 10th canto part 3. Small, just the one chapter, and the Lord Brahma steals the cows and the cowherd boys, and just didn't like anything on the streets. People became devotees by reading that book, and they wondered. It's a very odd subject matter, to say the least, from a mature perspective, but because Srila Prabhupada has made that which is inconceivable, incomprehensible to the materialistic perception, has made it accessible by his commentary and sermon, by his association. To those, not that everybody is ready even for that, but many people were ready and people are ready to digest this up to a point where they can move forward. Otherwise there will be no, it has no meaning except for some fairy tale or something. No realistic practical application in anyone's life. And even the Bhagavad Gita, what to do with it, as I prompt them before he, when he was asking, early when he came commentary in purport translation of Bhagavad Gita, there are so many copies of Bhagavad Gita, why another one? I'm sure Prabhupada explained the real reason, although there may be many translations, editions of the Bhagavad Gita, nobody is becoming a devotee. Nobody understands the confidential aspect of the Bhagavad Gita. And they philosophically analyze it, they may memorize it, they may misuse it, and so on and so forth. Come to some other conclusion, but nobody is coming to the conclusion, the ultimate conclusion, as Prabhupada mentions here, of surrendering to Krishna. Nobody. Because that is the confidential message of Gita. Everything in Gita is to bring us, and Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam, one sense starts at that point, but at the same time, the philosophy of the step by step stages are also there. Different alternatives are also there. So Srila Prabhupada has presented in such a way, a living example of the Bhagavad. We have to hear the Bhagavatam from the living Bhagavad. We have to hear Gita from somebody whose life is founded on the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada, and we can see from the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, how many millions, literally millions of people all over the world have woken up. I'm sure most of you, maybe not, but many of us here sort of read other versions of Bhagavad Gita before coming upon Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. We certainly did. And as much as they were interesting, as much as they were a little bit more interesting in some ways, at least more mysterious, than many of the other literatures of various so-called philosophers, religionists, and so on and so forth, it didn't really have any practical application. There's no, I mean, just another one, as it is for most people, another one of those many, you know, books of knowledge or something. It's all one, and so on and so forth. But nothing with any realization or major change. And then people don't understand that, because they don't understand the real purpose of life. They don't have the association of somebody who is not on this material platform. Somebody who has realized the truth. That's why the purports are more important than the verses in one sense. Because otherwise you will not know what to do with this knowledge. Knowledge is pretty useless. It can be detrimental, in fact, if we don't know really what it's meant for. It can be detrimental. Better not to have it. And people reject knowledge. But don't know what its real purpose is. It can be dangerous. That can apply also to any walk. Apply your own Krishna consciousness to move. It's very important to know how to utilize the knowledge. We have to apply to ourselves first what is relevant. And gradually things become a little clearer. The idea, we have to hear from the right source, authoritative source, spiritual source, to understand these things properly. If the Lord is there, when it's sincere, one gets inspiration, it has to be confirmed also. Not we just act on our so-called inspirations. This is the mercy of Krishna which he gives when we have the humility in the reading of the 13th chapter of his knowledge. I was mentioning here the categories and energies of the Lord, which are described in some Bhagavad Gita, the internal and external energies, marginal energies. Are there to understand those is also the mercy of Krishna. And that mercy is received through the mercy of the devotees. They deliver that mercy free, unconditionally, everyone. This realization, this confidential knowledge is not possible to understand by the material processes, because it is a revelation given by the Lord. The directions are there. If we follow the directions sincerely, then by the mercy of Krishna, when we get some realization. Like in the 4th chapter, the Lord explains that one who applies himself to this knowledge realizes this knowledge in the course of time. It's by the grace of the Lord. And this knowledge, which most people think is knowledge of the phenomenal world, knowledge of the external energy, is also described in Gita. The real knowledge of revelation is when we become humble. Humble is not just some material condition. It's actually a state of surrender, a state of acceptance that we are completely dependent upon the Lord's mercy. We still act according to His inspiration, according to our nature and so on, our duty. But really, when it's humble, it's always depending upon the Lord. He doesn't consider himself. They don't consider themselves the doer, or the, you know, I worked it out, I did it, it's mine, and so on. They just consider themselves completely dependent on the Lord. Take no credit whatsoever. Everything is in Krishna's mercy. No matter what situation, they can feel the Lord's hand working there. In the ability to understand something, the ability to apply it, the means to apply it, everything. They say the mercy of Krishna is not mine. They take no credit. So Sai Prabhupada took no credit for anything. He gave all the credit to his spiritual master. This is humble. It's humble to accept, you know, that we're not capable of achieving perfection, for instance, by processes which others, previous ages, may have applied and may have been successful. And the devotee is humble to accept that, you know, we may think that we know better than Krishna Prabhupada or our senior brothers and sisters, whatever. But that is not going to work, because it all depends upon our attitude, and Krishna being pleased with our humble attitude, that he will reciprocate, that we are accepting the fact that we are pretty much, you know, after all, we don't know, but even from the material point of view, insignificant, tiny. We have practically no qualm of what we have. We're here for a few moments, insignificant in terms of even this world. I'm not thinking about some great personality or something. We start to realize how tiny, in that sense, we are, how totally dependent we are. We really can't understand Krishna. We have to accept the process given, and by His grace, everything may be revealed in time. By His grace, He can remove the inheritance or the unwanted coverings in our hearts and purify our consciousness so we can start seeing things in a more clearly. If we take shelter of Him by His association, by the association of the devotees, as in the case of Narada Muni here, by the association of Bhaktivedanta, his consciousness became purified, and he was able to see things clearly. He was able to see things clearly, understand the various energies of the Lord and how they're working, how the living entities in this material world are struggling, and so on. And, what the process or the means to get out of this situation is. This is the just, we can utilize analysis, we can utilize our senses, but they should be in the light of this, of humility. Not challenging, not counter, not thinking that I know better. My perception is better than the spiritual one, or better than my guru, or better than himself. We may have our doubts, as Arjuna had his doubts, but he placed them humbly before Krishna, not challenging, humbly. Of course, those who are not accepting this, they may challenge them. That's another subject matter which we have to also take into account. Among those who want to actually advance, those who are serious about this process, doubts may be there, questions may be there, but they should be in a mood of humble humility. Inquire submissively. Pandito Shobha Tasvada Shaitan Dhamsamitachita. She'll be in this mood of how Arjuna inquired from Krishna. Then one's doubts can be removed, everything can become clear by the grace of Krishna. And one can attain by the mercy of those who are at the lotus feet of the Lord. One may attain the lotus feet of the Lord by their mercy. It's only by their mercy one can get the mercy of Krishna. You have to get the mercy of the Parampara coming through the immediate connection to the Parampara. This is the process. It's not some kind of, it's a self-achievement in all senses. It's understanding our actual position and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the devotees, serving the devotees, serving the mission of Śrīla Prabhupāda, serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, distributing this knowledge, even though we may not have realized it. Don't say that, you know, we should realize it first before doing it. The process of revelation or realization includes the process of giving what we've been given to others, distributing it. This month is a great opportunity to inspire and remind us of that, even though we may not realize fully, say, the contents of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We may have accepted it and not realized it fully. Still, by distributing the Srimad Bhagavatam, books which support the Srimad Bhagavatam's conclusion, one is this service, by rendering this service, great service to those devotees who are free of all vice, great service is done. With service, one gains an affinity for hearing the messages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. One starts to develop the qualities by rendering service. And this service is service. The service, distributing Prabhupada's books is great service. Distributing the holy name is great service. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, discussing the practical application of Srimad Bhagavatam if one has some realization or an advancement in spiritual life to those who have not understood it is great service. Offering service, whatever service Srila Prabhupada has given us, our acharyas have given us, is great service. He's worshipping the deities, cooking for the deities, distributing prasadam, raising children in Krishna consciousness to our best capacity, following Srila Prabhupada's sadhana guidelines to our best capacity. All this is service which pleases Krishna. You just have to, you know, develop more and more of this mood of humility, mood of dependence, this mood of submission, service mood. And then more and more, the Lord will reveal it. One has to study day and night to try to analyze these things. One great scholar one time came to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He was the vice chancellor of Benares Sanskrit University Department. And he asked some very, very philosophical questions, which he thought only Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj may be able to answer him. Nobody else. The Holy Way scholar. So he, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, received him cordially and requested him to please be a little patient because he was very busy at that time. And if he would kindly, first of all, if he could address the questions to another devotee. So the man had a bit of humility. So he said, I don't think anyone else can answer them. But in fact, he sent a man to the mobility. So the man did go to the other devotee and inquire from him. And the other devotee said, I'm a little busy right now. But if you'd like to help me, then that would be very nice. Then we can discuss once we finish. So the man did. He really helped him do some menial service in the ashram. And after the menial service was finished, the other devotee said, please, if you have any questions, please feel free now to ask. The man said, no, it's okay. And before leaving, the big scholar went to see Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj. Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said, so, did you ask the questions of the devotee? He said, no. He said, why not? He said, I didn't need to. He said, why not? He said, because somehow or another, he engaged me in service, and by rendering service, all my questions were answered. I didn't have any doubts. So Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said, you understood. You understood. It's not that we should just depend on that, we should also hear, we should also inquire, but the basic principle is not simply by that alone. It's not by a mechanical process of understanding, of even hearing and chanting, that one understands or realizes the truth. It's wholly and solely by the mercy of Krishna. Krishna bestows his mercy and reveals to anyone what is the truth. And that truth of who are we, what is our relationship with Krishna, and how everything has to be engaged in this correct way for the pleasure of Krishna, whether we call it material or otherwise. Everything is Krishna's energy and everything is meant to bring pleasure to the owner, the proprietor, the enjoyer of everything. And when we learn this science of surrender, you could say, giving up all other shelters or other endeavors to achieve perfection, then we can be satisfied. Only then, when we're correctly situated, and we make sincere endeavor to correctly situate everything and everybody else in relationship to Krishna's preaching, is to understand how everything is connected to Krishna and to try to connect you with Krishna, with his pleasure, with his preaching. That's what the Bhagavatam is teaching us. On a level, it's in relationship to the material world. But by doing that, one attains the mercy of the Guru and the mercy of Krishna. And then reveal the truth to us. Okay, well, it's 8 o'clock.
15 more minutes.
Pardon?
15 more minutes.
The questions or complaints, comments, additions, extractions, distractions, whatever you want. And maybe some. There's now a book mountain, so we don't want to minimize it. really hope, maybe there's one or two, but not many. I really hope that a Hare Krishna devotee comes out today and he has those books. I want to get those books. Not many people think like that. But maybe a few, but very rare souls. They have no idea, and some of them have no idea why that deep after they got a book. They're still not quite sure what happened. And some another, when they meet the devotee or whatever, and get that opportunity, just calls for mercy. Of course, it's the desire of the devotee, the inspiration of Srila Prabhupada, the Lord. So the desire of the Lord, the desire of Prabhupada, the devotee's desire, their desire, everything is taken into account. It's not, they may have another desire, but the devotee has his free will too. Free will is not a one-way thing. The more we accept the position of instruments for the will of the Lord, then the more likely it is that others will be connected. The more we think we're the doer, then of course it won't work so well. Move to humility and prayer, the Lord to be an instrument for his wish, his desire that Krishna consciousness be spread everywhere. A nice opportunity. Moment, a very wonderful preaching field. A nice opportunity for us to, and then it's also from that material point of view, very exciting also to go out and meet people and distribute Prabhupada's books, prasad, or whatever we can do, chant the holy names. It's very, maybe materially speaking, it's also very nice for us. Very exciting and very pleasing. What does the effect, the beneficial effect of that? Giving people the chance to associate with the Bhaktivedanta. Has narrowly got that chance. So if we have this chance to give people a chance to associate with Srila Prabhupada, the present Bhaktivedanta, and what can we do is do our best and depend on Krishna. Try to be sincere and following Prabhupada's instruction. By Krishna's grace, we may get some realizations. This confidential knowledge may become a little bit revealed. Otherwise, Krishna is changing, inconceivable, but he makes himself conceivable. We cannot conceive him. Shri Krishna Nandi, the Bhagavad Gita dream, Sema Mukhi Jivados, I made this Pratyaya. But by this process of devotion and service, especially hearing and chanting, this doing both is chanting. This is the process. By this process, okay, the Lord may reveal himself, reveal that truth. Any comments?
Yes. Would you like to tell us how you got connected with Swamis?
I don't know. I still haven't got connected. Wondering if I ever get connected.
First time how you came.
And the call for mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's devotees is like the real kind. We have no qualification to be connected to transcendental. I don't know, it's interesting, you can look at it in different ways, but all that. And you can ask. Like many of us in those days, we weren't exactly following the four heavenly principles. And amongst those intoxications, definitely one we were not following. So I was visiting some of my college friends, ex-college friends, finished that era, and some place in England, make no difference where it was, and I was going to stay with them for the weekend. Up to this point, I was, of course, we've already been reading all types of stuff at college, nothing by Prabhupada, never heard, probably seen it, too intoxicated to realize it existed. must come across at the top of the box as Klingons. They just didn't recognize it as anything more than anything else. Anyway, we're visiting our friends who are not following the four main principles. Very much so, they're not following junkies. And they've made a determined vow never to touch intoxication. Some or another of us try and stick to it. It was a very difficult thing to do, but try and. And in that situation, I was getting a bit bored in our association because it was like a different wavelength. And what to do, so I was looking for something to do, staying the weekend with them. But I was looking for something to read. I couldn't find anything which attracted me anymore. And they didn't. I read most of the books interesting that they had. And then all the rubbish magazines which were relevant to people who were in an intoxicated condition of life possible. And then I found at the bottom of this big pile of basically rejected literature, old newspapers and gross magazines, right at the very bottom. And something was inspiring me, the Lord in the heart, I wasn't aware of him. Nothing was inspiring me, I found right at the very bottom that pile two back to Godhead magazines. They kind of like look something very different. On the front cover of one was a picture of the little deities of Radha Krishna pink kind of cover, 1970 edition of Back to Godhead. And on the other one, I think it was a devotee of Boston Common dancing. And on the back, I remember on the back cover there was a picture of Balaram smashing Palambasur on the head. I thought that was very special. And it was really weird because first impression it looks like a little white man beating the hell out of a big black man. And it's a place I was in of Birmingham, which is, you know, 50% black. They call it a black country. It's not because all the black people live there. It's just a black place. But it's weird, you know. It doesn't look very spiritual. There were no more color pictures other than the front back cover downstairs. So I read I started to read those magazines during the night, and I couldn't put them down for about 20, whatever, however long it took to read them from front to cover, front to back. And it was all really mostly writing. It wasn't very, graphically speaking, wasn't very well laid out. It wasn't the sort of thing which would easily attract one's attention to read. It was like page after page of writing. But I couldn't get my eyes off it once we started. It was like suddenly the light came on. It was like all sorts of, like little torchlights going that to write previously. Do this, but maybe this sounds right. There's something there, what is it we do not know? And, you know, speculation and so many things going on. So the feeling inside that there's something more than just materialized, but nothing clear. And then all of a sudden, although it was mostly the articles were about disciples of Prabhupada, I never knew one from the other, but it was A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami was that through death. Or, you know, Rupa Nuga Das, they're all the same, it didn't mean anything to me. Never heard of any of them. I just read a lot, and they all seem to be, you know, so clear. Even the articles from Chittananda and Swami, all so clear. It just makes so much sense. And the next morning, after the whole night, I saw that there was a chant Hare Krishna. I heard the Hare Krishna mantra. Heard it many times here and there, which is Sabhag was one of the first devotees I met, not the first, one of the first in Birmingham. And I went to the temple in Birmingham for the first time. I went to the temple in London actually first, and I went second to Birmingham temple. That was sometime later after I gave the Bhaktivedanta. And Sabhag was the only devotee there, and Sabhag Swami. He was a young Brahmacharya, very shy. He almost ran away when he saw me. I thought he did, actually. He opened and come in, and he kind of disappeared. I didn't see him for 30 minutes. Went to the back room somewhere and scared me. Guy with long hair and that some kind of put me in the front room and disappeared for 30 minutes. Then he came back and gave me some cotton wool and said, can you do this? I said, what's that? He showed me how to make geebics. He never told me what they were. This fuck it was this, I was just crazy. Rolling up bits of cotton and making these funny shapes. I had no idea. The weirdest thing I'd ever done in my life up to then. Never explained this thing. Absolutely nothing. And then after about another 30 minutes he came and I was just sort of sat there just looking at the books. And he came back and he said, come, come. Took me into the back room where he was. He was cooking actually, that's what he was doing. I had no idea. And he said, would you like something to eat? I said, right. They gave me college life, of course. And I thought, like, I was kind of like, wondering what was going on around here. I think the college life, of course, looked very interesting. I didn't know what they were. He didn't tell me what they were. I bit into one and I looked at it. My God. This is cotton wool. They look just like those cotton balls. Like a pair of clarinets. Exactly the same size, exactly. They were very small. This is fried cotton wool. That was my name. It was fat. And fat. Amazing how the mind, you know, if you think something, you kind of forget that that's what it is, you know. We do this all the time with people, with ourselves, and with different amounts. You have an impression of what it is, and you kind of decide that's what it is. Okay.